The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you,
the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have to admit that maybe it's my just being part of Generation X. Maybe it's just how rapidly the media landscape is changing. But I myself have become a little bit of a media cynic. And when I hear something or a friend says to me, "Hey, did you hear about such and such, a big news story?" I don't often just say, "Oh," anymore. But rather reply with the question, "Oh yeah? What's the source? What's the source? Where is this information coming from? What is this news which we hear? Has it been validated by multiple agencies? Is there something besides an unspoken named source that is saying something? Where's the meat? What can really be trusted in the midst of all that?" And regardless of which news sites you frequent, on either side, there is always a trust of what's the source? And so here we are living in a cynical world today where so much in the news is just brought upon us each day that we have to pause and wonder, what's the source? Because the source matters, especially when it pertains to the good news. If you were here last week, you'll recall that I introduced the Gospel of Matthew, which we'll spend this next year in, by telling about the immediacy that comes along with it. That word appears over 40 times in the Gospel of Mark, and time again, we hear immediately this, and right away this, and straight upon, and that's the nature of Mark's Gospel, to just get right to the point. And so as we begin Mark's Gospel today, with this first chapter, we see that no time is wasted. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in those 18 words, we're ready to hear it. Here it is. Wait no longer. Immediately, you are about to hear the word of God. And that word of God is brought first by John the Baptist, the first to come and proclaim, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Get ready for one who is so more important that we aren't even worthy to untie his shoes is coming." Now, John the Baptist's story appears in all three synoptic gospels. But in Matthew and in Luke, it's not until the third chapter to which John the Baptist arrives in the story. Matthew, up to that point, takes time to explain the genealogy of Jesus descending from David and to tell a shortened version of the Christmas story. While the first two chapters of Luke are focused on what we hear in the children's Christmas play and on that Christmas Eve night, the whole story of the nativity scene. But there is no Christmas in Mark. Immediately, it's right down the business. Here is Jesus as an adult. No stories of him in the temple as a kid. Right there, ready to proclaim the word of God. There's the source. John the Baptist wastes no time here proclaiming, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Get ready, for Jesus is coming." And in this Advent season, a season of busyness in our lives, a season of chaos, of trying to get everything done, of trying to be at all the events that we get invited to, trying to take care of all the wishes of family and what we know they want for Christmas and hope we can find. In a season of busyness, we're called to pause and prepare and to know the source. This gospel text is one that helps us to see that there is no reason to wait to share the good news. And what is just as important as John the Baptist's contribution to this is the recognition of exactly those first two words of this gospel text. For what John is doing is only the beginning of the good news, because there is so much more to follow. Now that term good news that we hear in English in two words is one in Greek. It's euangelion. And if you were to write euangelion in Greek on a board, you would see that those Greek letters look like a word that we're familiar with in English. Evangelism. And when you break down the root of what evangelism means in our lives, it is what is rooted in that word, euangelion. For evangelism is to truly share the good news, to share with others the word of God, and to share the promise that comes with that. And so today, my friends, as we gather here to hear the good news and waste no time getting there, we are reminded that this is just the beginning. And what we'll hear throughout in the year of the Gospel of Mark is the beginning of Jesus' story in the world that continues long after his death and resurrection and ascension into the world that we live in today. For we, friends, are sources of the good news. Whether you sign up for it on your time or talent sheet or not, you are part of the evangelism committee. By being a baptized child of God, you enter a covenant with God to share the good news. I want to tell you about a few people who I've met along my journey of faith who have exemplified for me the gift of sharing the good news. At all the different congregations I've been at along the way, these are the people who remind me of John the Baptist. They might come out of the wilderness. They might not be fully accepted by the society that they live in. They might look lost or grungy or unappreciated. But in these folks, I have found the gift of God's good news being shared. So there was the woman who came to our campus ministry in Gainesville at the University of Florida, to University Lutheran Church, wearing the same t-shirt every week. Long had it been since she was a student. She was one of those scholarly wanderers, if you will, who hung around campus long after degrees were finished. But she came every Wednesday night to our campus Bible study, and she wasn't afraid to share the good news. She would see the looks of concern on students' faces as deadlines approached, as exams neared, and she would always bring a source of comfort and say, "It's not the end of the world. It's just one test. And remember that God's love is bigger than all of that." And for a bunch of stressed out college students, even though she came from a different place and wasn't our age and wasn't up to date in the latest college fashions, which we were attempting to look grungy at the time, she was always there to proclaim that word. I think about the gentleman who was 91 in my first congregation that I served in Prosperity, South Carolina, who carried around a bunch of wooden nickels in his pocket that he had wood-burnt crosses into. And he would just walk around that little town of Prosperity in the grocery store or in this town square, wherever he might be, and hand people one of those wooden nickels and say, "God loves you. Hold on to this to know that God is with you." Or I think about the young lady at my previous congregation who, as a sixth grader, would get together drives of clothing or food, whatever she saw a need for, and encourage the rest of her Sunday school students to do the same so that the good news could be proclaimed in God's love in a tangible way. This wasn't a committee effort. It was a single sixth grader who would empower and embolden others to share the good news. And then I think back to the church that I grew up in outside Orlando. And I think about a woman who was in her 50s who came every week to church with her mother. She couldn't come on her own because she was developmentally disabled and had Down syndrome. But she was there every week. And if she knew you, she came up to you and gave you a big hug and said, Jesus loves you. Every week. These folks are not the ones who end up being the front of attention. They're not the source that we turn to. They're the people on the fringe. The people who come out of the wilderness. But they have been some of the greatest examples of the good news that I have ever shared. That call to share God's love in our lives. And I'll tell you that in all these same congregations that I've served, I've had the privilege of meeting business executives and academic scholars and admirals and generals and elected politicians and even professional athletes. And as important as they are in the world, every one of those who I've ever worshiped with would acknowledge the same thing that John the Baptist says in this text. And when it comes to Jesus, we're not even worthy to untie his shoes. Friends, as we gather for worship in this Advent season, this time of preparation, of hope, is not simply rooted in being ready for a Christmas proclamation, but rather what results from that. For that's just the beginning of the good news. And rather, the good news is something that we are called to share on a daily basis in our lives. And even when we feel like the outsider, like the one coming out of the wilderness, like one who is looked at like John the Baptist was, we still have good news to share. I'm going to get double duty out of this puppet today. This wasn't just for the children's sermon. It's important for us to hear as well. Because just as John the Baptist was a prophet in the world who came to proclaim the good news of Christ Jesus our Lord, so too are we. But I want you to understand what that word prophet means. It comes from a Hebrew word meaning Navi, N-A-V-I, very short. And Navi simply means, if you dissect it in half, open mouth. Open mouth. You see, my friends, that's what we are. We are Navi, open mouths in our lives that the Holy Spirit will empower with the words to say in a difficult or important situation, so that we can share God's love. I know how difficult it is to feel and wonder if you can pray for someone on the spot. That will you have the right words, or will you know what to say? But I want us to remember that as the source of the good news, sharing in the same words that John shared, and that the prophets, both great and forgotten, have shared throughout the ages, that we are simply open mouths, and that God will give us the words. So the next time you're with somebody who needs to hear the good news, pause and pray and open your mouth and trust that the Holy Spirit, through the power of Jesus, will give you something to say, because I am confident that something will come out of your mouth that will mean something to the one who hears it. That it might sound like one of those stories that I told you, that it might end up being very eloquent. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter when we're sharing the good news of God. The source, the gift of the good news, is that God will continually provide us that gift over and over again. And the confidence we need to share God's hope with all we encounter. So the next time you talk to a friend who keeps feeling sick, who isn't getting better, open your mouth. And trust that you are a prophet, a Navi, that God is working in you. The next time you think about somebody who you're in a broken relationship with, who it's hard to reconcile with, trust that God will give you the words to say. The next time you encounter somebody on the street or in a store who comes with an open hand, trust that God will give you the response. If the people of God would come to the river to be baptized by one who came out of the wilderness, who dressed in camel hair and ate locust and honey, just imagine what God can do through us. And God will do through us. We are prophets. All of us are. And when we sing the fifth verse of this hymn in just a second, hear these words: let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Friends, you are the source. You are a prophet. In this Advent season, may you open your hearts to speak the word of God, because that's a source I trust. Thanks be to God. Amen.